DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
We have something very special in store for you guys today. Tiara wants to talk about being an Earth soul. So Earth is comprised of many different souls from all over the galaxies. And when this planet was created, when man was created, they put together a group of souls and they decided that Earth was going to be their home. So Earth souls typically always reincarnate here on Earth because this is their home. And the term star seed are typically souls that come here from other constellations or planets, galaxies. So some of the star seed groups that I'm sure you guys hear are the Pleiadians, Orions, the Arcturians, Andromedans, Sirians. There's so many different types of starseeds here on this planet, and a lot of them came here, especially now, because Gaia is doing this huge global ascension where she is ascending an entire planet into this thing called the New Earth. And the New Earth is called Terra. And so a bunch of starseeds have come here to help these Earth souls with the awakening process, with the ascension process, with reconnecting humanity to their true inner selves, their true essence, their source back to what some might call God, because God created this planet. And so when people say, like, you need to find, when we're journeying and reconnecting, we're reconnecting with the God that created this place. And we are calling them Earth souls. And Tiara's journey has been kind of wild. Like, she originally went from, like, thinking I'm a starseed to I'm an ascended master to no, I'm an Earth soul. And I was like, okay, well, which one is it? Because that's a lot of different beings, entities, opinions. And she was like, no, I'm definitely an Earth soul. And so she just wants to talk about, like, what it's like to be an Earth soul, what it is, and what it means to have this planet be her home. And, you know, we have a lot of sadness around it because there's a lot going on this planet. And, you know, being an Earth soul, like, it's got to be a really difficult and devastating thing to watch your home be completely destroyed by a bunch of narcissistic lunatics.
I love how you call them narcissistic lunatics. I call them narcissistic psychopaths, narcissistic sociopaths. I think they're pretty much all of that. But, you know, it's an interesting thing to recognize, first of all, that you're an Earth soul, and also that Earth is your permanent home, because I think that there's a lot of belief that there are other places that you can go to and incarnate to, which isn't wrong, but that's not the case if you're an Earth soul. So I feel like being an Earth soul is an interesting and unique thing. And I found out about that, I think it was through channeling. I don't think this was confirmed for me through the Akashic Records. I haven't had it confirmed in the Akashic Records. This came through in channeling and it resonated just because I know a little bit about my soul family and my soul history. And from that, I know that we have always incarnated on Earth. And it makes sense because of the amount of karma that we have. Earth being a free will place is very unique in that sense. And so when you're an Earth soul and you come from a place that has free will, it's a very unique and interesting thing because, as far as I understand, that doesn't exist elsewhere in the universe. So it is a unique thing to be an Earth soul. And Allie's right that, you know, when you have that recognition and you sort of make that connection to the planets and to the other humans here and you see what's happening, like it affects you emotionally. And I know it has affected me emotionally. And I've gone through a range of emotions about what's happening on this planet and the control and the power and what they've done to the human species. That's gone from fear to frustration to anger to resentments. Like there's a combination of all those emotions about what's happening to this Earth. But something that's also very interesting about being an Earth soul is I do feel a very profoundly deep connection to this planet, like to the plants, to Gaia, to the sea and the sea creatures and the trees. And everything is just so beautiful to me. And I feel an essence and a connection to it that goes so deep. And I also feel a similar connection to the collective, the human collective. And that's not to say I don't to the starseeds either. I love the starseeds and I'm so glad they're here to help us. It's just, it's uniquely different from what I feel to the rest of humanity. Like I absolutely love humanity and I just think that we're such a beautiful species and we're so passionate and creative and expressive and unique and interesting in that way. And it's interesting because I don't really know other individuals that I know are Earth souls, except for the individuals in my soul family. I don't know of any others or how they feel about the planet or how they feel about, you know, humanity in general. So this is sort of my unique perspective on it. But in that regard, that's more or less how I feel and what I feel. Just this deeply profound connection to the world, the creatures, the animals. And it reminds me a little bit of the movie Avatar, how that species had that deep, profound connection to the planets and to the entity that resided within the planets and that was like mother. That's what I feel to the planets. Like I feel this essence that's mother and she's in the plants, but she's also in the water. And, you know, some of her essence is also in the rain and the air. And so it's interesting. And I love that. At the same time, it's hard because this other part of me is like, look what's happening to her and to everyone here. And why is this happening to this extent? Why does it need to be like this? How did we get here? So I have all these different things and thoughts running through my mind about it. But when it comes to what it feels like, that's the best way I can describe it. I hope that makes sense.
This is actually a very beautiful planet. And as a person who has been so fortunate to travel the planet, I have seen this planet in a completely different light outside of, you know, cities are very congested with a lot of traffic. And it's like, if you have the opportunity to remove yourself from it and go into nature where there are no buildings, it's like you've been warped into a whole different reality. And I encourage more people to get outside and experience the more secluded places that are not so congested with buildings and ambient light and traffic and people and noise, because once you remove yourself from that and once you go into the countryside, it's like the air is cleaner, the air is crisper, you can see the stars. It's like, you know, you hear nature at its best, you hear birds, you might be near a stream or a river, the hills and the mountains and just this glaciers, this insane beauty, like this whole other part of the world that most people aren't fortunate enough to be able to go see and experience. Like I felt like I was completely warped in a totally new reality when I went to Patagonia. people often ask me, like, oh, what are some of your favorite countries? And I will often say Argentina, because I went to Patagonia, and Patagonia just felt like a completely different reality in so many ways. And I understand why, because it's just the rawest, purest nature I have ever experienced in my life. And you don't need to go to Argentina to experience that, especially if you're from the United States. The United States has tons of fascinating nature that you can find in other parts of the world, like the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. It's just the colors. It's like the red. If you go into the red deserts of Sedona, Arizona, it's completely different. If you go into Salt Lake City and you see the salt flats, and it's like there's so much raw beauty and nature out there, and it's like you're warped into a whole different place, and you can reconnect in ways that you're not gonna get. And you know, this is why a lot of people talk about grounding. Like, you need to get outside, you need to walk barefoot, you need to walk on the grass, you need to connect to Gaia, you need to connect to her essence, because she does have a very beautiful presence. It's just, we're so distracted by all the noise and propaganda and the news and stressed out about how am I going to survive. So I get what TR is saying, because I have seen it, I have lived it, I have experienced it. So I understand this push-pull of what it's like to be an Earth soul here, because there is such beautiful essences all around this planet, but then there's the noise and the people and the propaganda. And like, as a person who sees both sides, I'm just like, I understand why Gaia was like, it is time to ascend this entire planet into a new Earth, because it's not sustainable. What is happening right now on this planet is not sustainable. There, too many people have way too much power. There is a complete indifference of wealth. There is an indifference of, we have given the wrong people too much money, power, and control, and they are using it against us now. And people are fighting for their lives.
They are. And I want to talk a little bit about the creation of its planet and its significance and why humans are here the way that they are. Now, I'm going to be honest, I don't have all the answers to that. I don't know. Allie and I have just kind of speculated and done a little bit of research and a little bit of channeling. And even then, like with the channeling, they're not always the most expressive about it. So we sort of have come to some conclusions, and a lot of it really just depends on your belief system, right? So we know the biblical belief system and the Christian or the Abrahamic belief system, which is that there was a God being who created Earth, created humans in his likeness and image, and seated us here to evolve and grow in his likeness. And depending on where your belief goes, you might be of the impression that there was a Christ-like being on the planet who came to help man along that journey. Or you might believe some of the other more esoteric beliefs around there being angels called watchers who came to Earth and got involved some kind of way. And then from there, everything just kind of fell apart. Like, so I'm not quite sure what the truth is, but I can tell you that my mind sort of is more or less shifting towards the notion that we have been placed here to evolve and grow and expand in our own way, and that somewhere along the way that got disrupted. How or why, I'm not fully sure of that. Again, there's just stories and there's ancient texts that sort of allude to different things. But my mind has sort of slowly been drifting towards, well, are we meant to be here to offer some type of lessons, or a way to provide lessons to other beings who want to come here and learn through us and through our experiences in some type of way? So I'm not quite sure what my conclusion fully is yet. I'm still learning. I'm still researching. But I'm of two beliefs here. I'm of the belief, one, that we were created here to evolve and expand and grow on our own, that we have a spiritual essence of our own, that's, or a spiritual, that we're spiritual beings, and that we are meant to actualize. I do believe that. But I also believe that there has been interference along the way that sort of shifted it away from its original intent. And now we've become, as a planet, a school. So again, that's just my belief. I don't know how true it is. I have no idea. That's just kind of where my mind is kind of going with it. And it's almost conflicting, right? Like, it's nice to know that we were created in the likeness of a higher being. That's nice, right? It's nice to know that we're...
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Spiritual beings, and that there's a significance in that. That's also nice to know. But it's not so nice to feel like you are stuck here on this planet, especially in its current state, and are and more or less forced to reincarnate here again in a planet in such a negative state, because it kind of makes you feel trapped. And you know, I've seen other people talk about feeling trapped on this planet, or feeling like they were forced to reincarnate when they didn't want to, or feeling like this planet is a prison planet. I see that sentiment all the time, and I get it, because there's some truth to feeling that way, especially knowing the state of the world, what the powers that be are doing to it, what they have been doing to it for such a very long time, what their ultimate and underlying intention is, which is pretty much to make sure that we stay trapped here forever without any option of escape or actualization, right? Which is, again, this is my belief, very morbid. It's very morbid to think that that's the intention that these entities, these powers that be have for humanity, is to keep them trapped and enslaved permanently. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, as an Earthsea, that's a very hard pill to swallow. But, you know, what can you do about it? And what can I do about it? I can't really do anything about that. And again, I don't know how true that is. It's just something that sort of resonates, you know? Like, there's a piece of me that feels like there's an aspect of truth in that. And that's hard to deal with. So in that, you sort of have to find the beauty in the journey. And that's something that I've been working on, because having known my prior soul history and what it's been like and the karma that's there, I've had to try to find the beauty in the journey itself, which has been very, very hard. And I know a lot of us here, whether you're an Earthseed or a Starseed, or I don't know what else there is outside of that.
Earth soul.
I'm sorry. I use the word Earthseed, Earth soul. I use both interchangeably. Regardless of what you are, I think that all of us sort of have a sense of recognition around many of these things, right? That, like, yeah, there's an aspect of being trapped here, and yeah, there's beauty here, and it's lovely, but at the same time, we don't like being here. Like, it's just such a combination of conflicting emotions. And, you know, honestly, I feel like the best path forward as an Earth soul is to just find the beauty in the Earth and the planet and each other and your journey, and make the best of it in any way you can in the time that you have left here. Because I know that that's what I'm doing. Just trying to make the best of it, of what remains of, you know, this beautiful planet. Because Allie's right, this is such a beautiful planet. And I haven't had nearly the opportunity of seeing as much as I'd like to see of this planet. But I know she's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. Just as beautiful physically as she is energetically. So, you know, it's a lot of this just depends on your belief systems. And I'm not here to trash religion or anyone's belief systems. That's just kind of what I think of when I think of what happened to man, why we're here, the purpose behind all of it. My beliefs are slowly shifting towards Gnosticism because a lot of it resonates. So I just wanted to share a little bit about more of the Earth soul perspective. heavy in an earth soul. I am also, as I'm sure many people are, whether they're consciously aware of it or not, intimately tapped into the human collective. And there seems to be this common theme in the collective about hating it here, which is interesting because this is our home. So it's conflicting emotion all over the place. But at the end of the day, if you are an earth seed and you know that about yourself, this is your permanent home. Like, you haven't gone anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere unless you ascend. And then I think, you know, 5D earth is a very different place from 3D earth, as we know. So it's an interesting state to be in right now, to be an earth soul. It's very interesting, a lot of interesting and conflicted emotions, but also very insightful too, because, you know, as I've come into understanding that I'm an earth soul, I've learned a lot about myself and the human collective and the planets, and will continue as my journey continues to focus and look at the beauty in all of it, because honestly, that's how you're going to get past it and through it.
You know, there are so many theories about this planet that I can't keep up. And, you know, I've seen Earth is a school. I've seen people recently debunking that Earth is a school and that it's actually a prison planet, and that it's just, there's so many theories about this, and I keep going down the rabbit hole trying to figure out what Earth is, why it was created, why were humans created, have humans' DNA been played with or manipulated, and has it been manipulated so much that humans are actually enslaved, and is this a slave race? And there, the conspiracies, the rabbit holes to this go down so deep. I don't know what the freaking truth is. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know, because, you know, you have very, very prominent teachers like Dolores Cannon, who swear up and down, and she, you know, it's like her whole teachings were Earth is a school, and this is the toughest school in the entire solar system, and this is the only planet with total and complete free will, which plays a part in why it's the toughest school. And I've seen sentiments around, well, when we incarnate, we get amnesia. And, you know, I know Earth souls have their sentiments about getting amnesia. And they're just like, okay, well, if it's a school, then we should remember our past so we don't make the same mistakes. And, you know, her whole thing was just like, well, if you remember, then is it a test? And if it's not a test, then, you know, if you had all the answers, then it wouldn't be a school. So there's all of these like push-pull theories about what this planet is and why we incarnate here. And I do find this whole Gaia ascending thing super interesting, because it's like, why would she be ascending the entire planet if something wasn't currently wrong with 3D Earth? So I have all these questions. I don't really know what my two cents are. I do know that if you can remove yourself from all the noise, life gets a lot easier. It's like, if you go back to our Game of Life series, we briefly talk about this, where I was saying one of the ways to win at the Game of Life is don't participate in it and go off grid. And Tiara was talking about this influencer guy who, you know, put on YouTube his entire journey to getting off grid and living fully off the land and having zero bills and learning how to use Gaia's resources to have a fantastic life and have peace and not have to worry about bills and politics and politics in the workplace. And he was like, I don't need money. He was like, I have no bills. He's like, I grow my own food. I raise my own chickens. I have figured out my own plumbing. I have figured out solar panels. He was just like, and he is so happy. So it's like, you don't have to participate in all of the madness. I mean, I'm not going to, like, I get it. Not all of us are built to just go off grid. A lot of us have become very dependent on these resources, like a house, a stove, running water, toilets, stuff like that. Electricity is another big one, you know? But at the same time, it's like, at what point do we go back to our roots before capitalism, when tribes lived in communities and lived off the land, versus us participating in this madness of, you know, capitalism? And so I'm just saying, like, I don't think everyone needs to suffer. That's my belief. No matter what this planet truly is and why we come here, and if it is a school, if it's not a school, if it's a prison, if it is a slave race, I'm just saying people make conscious choices to leave it, regardless of what this planet actually is. And I feel like that's the true wealth. If you can figure out how to remove yourself from all of this craziness, it's like, why can't Earth souls just decide, we're going to go back into community living, we're going to go off grid, we're going to build a community off grid, everyone's going to contribute? And I mean, this is a proven concept with blue zones. Blue zones are intentional communities, and these are some of the longest living people in the world. It's like they all do family dinner, everyone plays a role, they have a no technology rule at dinner, forcing people to actually connect, and they live longer, healthier lives. You know, their diets that they're eating, and it's like a lot of their diet is the Mediterranean diet. It's like the Mediterranean diet is one of the best diets for you, because it's a mix of high fiber, tons of vegetables, and it's just like, we don't need to be living in chaos. And so regardless of what this planet is, it's like Earth souls, I feel like, if you guys really want to truly save yourselves, you guys need to go back to the basics. You need to understand how tribes did it way back when. And you guys need to adapt, and you need to have the courage to walk away.
Oh, I 100% agree. And, you know, that there's an aspect and little sparks of that that do exist within the human collective, that we sort of have this understanding that the way we are existing isn't healthy, and it's not our nature, and that it takes away our essence that exists there. But what's interesting about humans is that we also have this thing innately built in us about comfort and safety, and sort of choosing comfort, even if it's at the expense of our best and highest. We do that. Comfort and safety is all we care about consciously, and or I'm sorry, not even consciously, subconsciously. It's like the primary program that's running. Now, I don't know why, but that's sort of just innately built in all of us. And I'm also of the belief that there is something in the human psyche subconsciously that, I don't know if it's like a DNA thing. I am of the belief that the DNA of humanity has been tampered with multiple times. But there's just something in there that sort of says to us, you submit to the programming. And now that's not to say it can't be overcome, because that's not what I'm saying. I know that exists there. And I know that that's very difficult for many people to overcome. Now, another interesting thing that I was thinking about as you were talking about whether Earth is a school is, all right, so if we assume that Earth is a school, and I don't disagree that it's got school-like properties, if we are of the belief, then are humans enrolled in that same school, even though this is our home? Like, it's interesting that, like, as an Earth soul, this is your home, all of a sudden it's a school, and now do you just suddenly get enrolled in the school? Like, there's just some stuff that I'm not fully understanding around the Earth human school concepts, because as an innate species of the planet, I don't get the impression it was created to be a school. That's just me personally. So if it did shift into a school later, then are we then enrolled in same said school, even though school is our home and has always been? Like, I just have so many other questions about this and about the formation of the planet. But No, I do think that as a species that we should get back to basics. And we all know that at some level. What's harder is overcoming the things that tell us that what we are doing now is what we should be doing. Because as a Earth soul, everything and anything that has happened on this planet is all you know, right? Like it feels like that's how it's supposed to be because that's all you know. You don't have any other frame of reference for what's going on this planet. All you know is that since I've incarnated here, this is the way it's always been. And this is the way, if this is the way it's always been, then this is the way it is, right? So there's a couple different things you have to look at and reframe your perspective around as an Earth soul when it comes to even wanting to go back to basics, because again,
since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
It requires a dramatic change and shift in perspective that is harder for us. I don't quite know why it's harder for us, but I get the impression that it is. Otherwise, why would there be so many starseeds here trying to help us get there? And oh my gosh, are they working so hard? Like the starseeds on this planet are fighting for their lives, you guys. And we are over here like, hey, this is business as usual. And the starseeds are just like, what is wrong with humanity? And I get it. Like, I get it. Like, I understand it. And I get the perspective that they're coming from. But at the same time, I also know what's going on with humanity and why we are the way we are. And so it's just like, wow, how do we get anywhere here? It's a conundrum. It really is. So we talked a little bit about that and some of the things that is necessary in the Game of Life series. There's three parts. Please go check those out if you haven't. About how and some of the things that you can do to escape the programming. Because at the end of the day, I do think every human on this planet is here to escape the programming and should be pushing towards that. Like at this point, regardless of how the planet got here, regardless about why we're here and how we were created, I think ultimately, if you're a human soul, you are here to escape the programming, and that really should be your primary focus. So a lot of moving parts to this discussion, and I feel like I could probably talk like multiple episodes about like humanity and being an Earth soul and what it means and the implications of it. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to be doing at some point in a Book of Enoch episode that's coming. I know we've been talking about that for a while. It is coming. It's just, as I've stumbled into some more information, I think there's some other things that need to be ironed out. But yeah, this is a very, very unique planet. We have an interesting story. And I'm of the belief, again, as I mentioned earlier, that we are a very unique and interesting species, and one that's worth saving if we could only just put in the effort towards saving ourselves.
So what do you think is stopping these Earth souls from putting in the effort? I mean, obviously you keep saying programming, but what are some things outside of the programming that are stopping people?
Well, I think ego for sure. And just in myself, I admitted that, you know, overcoming the ego for me is difficult to the point where I'm pretty sure that the ego is stronger than I am. And if that's the case for other souls, then yeah, that's hard. And I think also what's something that has really affected us as a species is how we've sort of stumbled into individualism away from collectivism. And if we are a species meant to work collectively and exist in an agrarian state, which I am of the belief that we are, then trying to do anything individually, separated from each other, is gonna fail. And so ultimately, I think if we do want to get there, we have to come together. Like, there is no other way to do it. Like, we need to become a collectivist again. We need to go back into communities. We need to come back together and work as a unit, as one, because we are stronger as one than we are as many.
Okay, I don't want to go too deep into this. Okay, I do not. But I do have my concerns. Another thing that's holding back humanity is religion.
Mm.
And religion is a, in my humble opinion, if you guys have listened to the podcast in the past, I'm not religious, wasn't raised that way, wasn't forced to go to church, but a lot of people are, and a lot of people are raised in religion, and religion has so many rules and regulations and programming around, well, if you sin and if you do X, Y, and Z, then you're going to hell. And so that kind of keeps people, you know, people who take religion super, super seriously, it keeps people from actually living, because people are like, oh, well, I can't do that because that's a sin, and I can't do that because that's a sin. And also, people just believe that if they do sin and if they go and confess that, okay, well, it's okay that I did bad, I confessed, and God will still send me to heaven. And mm-hmm. so it's just, there's so many things in religion that I'm just like, it completely defies spirituality. It keeps you from connecting to yourself, because that's what spirituality is. Spirituality is learning the truth, connecting to yourself, working through your traumas, becoming aware of it, knowing that it's okay that you make mistakes, but you have to heal your way through it. And it's just like, I feel like with religion, it's just like, well, if I do bad, and as long as I go confess, then God will forgive me and I'm still allowed to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of the control, right? I can't tell you how many people are just like, well, I believe in God and God's going to save me. And I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to religion, because I'm not an expert. I'm certainly not qualified to speak on religion as a person who wasn't born and raised in it. But I do feel like I know enough about it in the terms of how religion is used to control the masses, mm-hmm. and the beliefs that the masses believe, that they just believe that if they have their faith, then it's all good.
100% agree. And having come from religion and being raised in religion, I see the effect that it has on the mind state. And it's by design, right? Because I am also of the belief that a lot of the religious texts have been manipulated to instill fear, but also to get people to a state of complacency and comfort, because again, that's our weakness. If you can play on that weakness, you are going to have humanity by the balls. And the powers that be have done a good job at doing that with all these religious texts that are, depending on the belief system, very monotheistic. So I know that Christianity in particular is very monotheistic. One God, this God is the all-powerful. You fear God. And if you don't worship him and adhere to the rules written out in the Bible, you will go to hell. But if you do, you will be saved. And Jesus Christ came to save us. He died on the cross for our sins. Therefore, if you believe in Jesus, then he will save you. And that's all you need. And that puts people into these states of, as I mentioned, complacency. But there's also a sense of comfort that comes from knowing that your behaviors, I guess in many ways, you don't need to be accountable for your bad behaviors as long as you believe in God. And that's destructive. In my opinion, I do think that that is very destructive. And it has been very destructive. And I see how destructive it has been. You know, I'm very fortunate that coming up, I took some critical thinking courses. And I applied that critical thinking to my religious beliefs. And ultimately, that's what catapulted me out of those belief systems. And then I was able to step back and look at it a little bit more critically. And I kind of navigated to different beliefs. I think I went from religious to agnostic to atheist, back to agnostic, back to spirituality, or I'm sorry, to spirituality. So I absolutely agree that religion, it's disruptive and creates additional distortion, because one of the things I've noticed about religion is that it instills fear, but it's fear at the wrong thing. You're fearing damnation and you're fearing being punished by God. When I feel like the fear should be about or geared towards complacency and what that will do to you if you don't put an effort to be better and to evolve and expand and grow. So religion is such a funny, funny thing, but you're absolutely right that it has blinded so many and kept so many people stuck in comfort that it brings and states of complacency that are hard to escape if you don't have that ability to think critically about the beliefs. I agree 100%.
I think religion is a very, I would say religion and the school system are two perfect examples on how easy it is to manipulate and control man. Mm-hmm. And that's a wild concept. The fact that, I mean, it's all by design. It's not your fault. We're not blaming anyone. We're just trying to bring awareness to you guys, because it's honestly not your fault. Like this, the powers that be did such a, I hate commending them, but they did such a fantastic job. They did though. They had it all planned from like, we're going to turn them into a slave race and we're going to control them using religion, mm-hmm. and challenge their belief systems. And we're going to take away their creativity. We're going to take away their critical thinking skills. We're gonna tell them that like this is how you succeed at life. And humans, just we all got in line. We mm-hmm. all lined up. We signed up. Our parents signed us up for the schools. They sent us off and was like, okay, go do your career now. And then we slave away, and we give away all of our youth, mm-hmm. and we give away our bodies, and we slave away to these corporations while we get peanuts and these mega CEOs are partying on yachts, you know, right. somewhere on their private islands.
Like, yes. And it aggravates me so much.
it's really interesting just be able to like examine the inequality of, you know, us little people versus the big wigs. And, you know, this is why we did the whole Game of Life series. And like, I have all these questions about what it's like to be an Earth soul, because this is their home. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how do you really navigate all of that? Because they have so much power and control, and humans just, especially Earth souls, have just kind of lined up for it and was like, here we are, just, you know. And another crazy thing is that I did see a podcast. I saw a clip of a podcast of a guy talking about how humans, like it's in humans' DNA, where they basically compare to like mammals, and like how mammals and animals just take the easy way. It's like humans were actually, it was tampered with, or it was written in their code to be like, humans, we are going to program humans to always take the easy road. And I can't tell you how many times like Tiara and I have been trying to plan something, and these words always come out of her mouth: whatever's easiest. And I'm just like, just because it's easier doesn't mean that it's the right path. And she was like, yeah, but it's easy. And I'm just like, why do you do that? Like, why do you say that? It drives me insane when she does that, because I'm just like, just because it's easier doesn't mean that it's the right path. And so many people will always take the easy path. It's like, if you had an option to walk 10 miles and it was guaranteed to be flat, or you could do an incline for 2 miles, I can guarantee you people would walk that 10-mile road. Like, that is just a clear example about like how humans are kind of programmed to just want to take the easy route.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's in there. And it's I don't know why that's in there. It's obviously in there for a reason, right? And, you know, the trick and the key is to overcome that, the programming and the DNA programming, which I know is possible. It's just, it is difficult to do. Because we're talking about overcoming, what, millions of years? Millions of years of code that has been there in our blood since we were created. And I get and see why humans are inclined to just fall in line, because that's difficult and that takes lifetimes to do. So again, it puts us in a really weird place, because I just feel like we have these unique challenges that I'm not sure that individuals that are not of this planet have. Like, I don't know that star seeds are programmed to fall in line and take the easy routes. I don't know if that's just a uniquely human thing or...
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
If it's just a lineage thing, that maybe not all humans have that, but maybe some lineages do. Like, I really don't know. I don't know. But it's, I see it a lot, and I see it within myself too, and in my entire lineage, that that's what we do too. So it presents an additional unique challenge.
I think Earth souls have a lot of unique challenges, but so do starseeds. I mean, according, like I said, to Dolores Cannon, she was just like, I have seen theories that starseeds who choose to come to this planet, and once they pass and, you know, they have fulfilled their mission here on Earth, that we get medals. Like, starseeds get medals for, like, surviving their incarnation here on Earth. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I was like, and TR, it's so funny because I know TR has seen this sentiment, and she's like, well, where are our medals?
I know. Like, what? We're here, like, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Where are our medals?
So... Earth, I mean, if that is true, and if starseeds are getting medals for incarnating here, I mean, that should also be an indication of how difficult it is to survive and learn lessons on this planet with total and complete free will.
I've always been curious about the souls that come here, and because I get the impression, just from looking at some of these Reddit subgroups that are filled with people who claim to be starseeds. I see a lot of sentiment around, yeah, how difficult it is, but also about how, like, there's this yearning to go somewhere else. Like, there's this sense of feeling out of place. And I, to the point where I actually was feeling, like, sympathy for the starseeds that have come here to help us. And I was just like, wow, you know, it's so unfortunate that this planet is such a low vibrational place that the souls coming here to help us can't stand it. And I'm just like, wow. Okay.
Maybe that's why they get the medals.
I'm grateful for them. Well, right, right. Like, you know, and at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so grateful that they're here to help us and that they're putting in that time and effort and energy. But at the same time, I'm just like, well, you don't see humans complaining about being down here and, you know, putting in the work and the effort. So it's a funny thing to you know, it's not funny. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's funny to see them suffering, because we all suffer, but it's just an interesting thing to see that there are souls that come here and that are so irked by the density of it. And to us, that's just business as usual. So it's just an interesting juxtaposition to see that.
No, that's a really solid point. You know, I don't know the dimensions of the starseeds. I actually don't know them. I just, based on what I have read on Google, like, for example, like Pleiadians, my understanding is like they exist anywhere between like 5D to like 7D. I've read online that Andromedans exist like 12D. to 16D. So I'm just like, okay, if you're like an Andromedan and if you're coming to, if you have to leave your 12D to 16D frequency and come to a 3D frequency, I can only imagine what that feels like and why they complain. If it's true, I totally get why they complain, because it's like those super high, like the super higher frequency dimensional beings who come here and it's like, I'm going to come to Earth and I'm going to come learn my lessons, like to go from 12 to 3. Like my heart just goes out to them, and no wonder they're just like, what am I doing here? Why did I do this? And then like they're yelling at their souls being like, why did we sign up for this? Cause this is crazy. And I would understand the feeling of displaced. Now, you know, it's like I've seen all these different things. I don't know how people get this information about what planets or species, what dimensions they are. I don't know. Maybe it's channeled, maybe it's text, maybe it's just something that they innately know. I don't know. But it's just, I mean, Pleiadians makes a little bit more sense. And like, I have actually have read theories that other starseeds go to Pleiades to prepare to come to Earth, because Pleiades is a much, it's like, if they are 5 to 7D, it would make sense to transition from 5 to 7D into a 3D versus going straight from 12 to 3. So it's like, it's really interesting how this is all naysay and theory, like how the galaxy kind of runs and like how they prepare the starseeds to come to this planet. Like I've done some of that readings and I've seen some of the findings and I'm like, it's all actually super interesting. But I mean, if Dolores Cannon is right, and if Earth is the school, and if this is the toughest school there is, then I mean, it makes sense why starseeds would want to come here and help humanity and, you know, try to learn, but also, you know, be a learner themselves and absorb and learn and grow and evolve. Because if when you come from the higher dimensions, it's like, you know, it's not like you were just kind of born into those higher dimension privileges. Like you still have to go through the process. Like these starseeds still have to go through the work. Like they still have to ascend themselves.
So I've always wondered if, for starseeds, if they're coming from a place that's a higher frequency and they're coming down to 3D, is it easier for them to ascend than it is for?
I have no idea.
I've always wondered if it's easier for them to ascend having already done so than it is for a species that has never ever ascended. Like I've always had that thought. Maybe we can make that a channel message.
Sure. I mean, I don't know if we're gonna get an answer. Even though TR and I do channelings, we don't always get answers. We get very sugar-coated, like non-direct, just like alluding, prospecting.
Yeah, we do get a lot of that. And then we're just like, okay, well, that didn't answer anything that we wanted, but thank you. So, yeah, it's the Earth soul perspective is a very interesting and unique perspective, and I'm still learning and exploring that space and how I feel, and, you know, honestly also trying to figure out like what can we do to help humanity. Like, you know, I've been racking my brain about it for weeks and I just don't have concrete answers, but I'm gonna keep exploring the space, and this might continue as conversation in another episode.
Well, I will say that, like, I mean, I think TR has a pretty good idea who in her life is an Earth seed, and she'll, you know, have conversations. And unfortunately, a lot of people in TR's life are very heavily religion based. And so, you know, it's hard when they're so heavily into religion, because it's like, why are you trying to question my belief? Why are you trying to it causes friction, because it's like they get defensive because they think that you're insulting them or being disrespectful or questioning them. And it becomes this push-pull relationship, because it's just like, well, I just want to have a discussion. And they're just like, sorry, not even open for discussion. Like they're so oftentimes people who are heavily, heavily religious are extremely closed-minded, and they don't want to be questioned. They don't want to be, they just are just like, leave me alone. Like, nothing's going to change my mind. And it's like, you can't even have open dialogue. And they typically look at you and say no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And, you know, it's tricky because I reprogrammed myself out of religion. One of the few things I've been able to do successfully when it comes to programming in my brain, I was able to program myself out of religion. And I've been in that space for years, but I also have many loved ones who are still so heavily programmed religiously, and they believe that. And, you know, oftentimes I like to just have open dialogue. Like, you know, I'm not one to go and question someone else's beliefs or make them feel a certain way. I just like to have dialogue. I like to debate. I like intellectually stimulating debates and discussion and conversations. And I've attempted, like, to just explore religion a little bit, even just from an intellectual perspective, and that's still very offensive to many people. So, you know, these aren't conversations I can have with many people that I know. So again, if you are the type of person that wants to sell the virtues of spirituality and, you know, that specific type of journey and how it could benefit you, but you carry religious beliefs, the notion of spirituality can be offensive. That, oh, wait, what do you mean that, you know, you say you do this and that, you know, it's not religious, but somehow that's better than what I'm doing and my beliefs? Like, F off is what I mostly get. So I don't know. It's a conundrum. So I continue to explore and I continue to find ways to nudge humanity a little bit. And as long as I'm breathing, I will keep doing so.
I think it's really important to point out is that you guys will never change anyone. I can't tell you how many times, like, this often happens in relationships. It's like you meet someone and you see their potential, and women are sucker for potential. Let's just be real here. And it's like, I'm going to change them and they're going to see it my way. And oh my God, like, happily ever. No. You'll never change someone. You'll never change their opinion as long as their ego is involved, or if they're not ready, or if they are so stuck on their belief. And I have come across many of those people, but I've also come across so many open-minded people who love to be intellectually stimulated. And I'm the exact same way. Like, if I'm not intellectually stimulated, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to be a part of my life, because I really struggle with people who are that closed-minded, who just will not even have an open conversation. It's like, what's wrong with having an open conversation? And it's just some people can't even get themselves there. And so if you're really struggling with those types of people, then, you know, if you are into spirituality, my point is don't let those people hold you back. Have the courage, walk away, you know, stay true to who you are, because I feel like part of the programming is that we have been so programmed into seeking external validation, being liked from others. So we will change our personalities, we'll change the way we looked, we will try to fit the mold for external validation from these people, because we know that that's how they want us to be, or that's how they want us to look, or that's how they want. I'm just like, why would you go through all the trouble of doing that? Because you're moving farther away from authenticity. And for me, it's a really important thing to understand that we don't live for other people, and we, in return, we can't expect other people to fall in line with us or our beliefs too. And so, you know, it's just about finding your community. It's about finding your tribe. It's about finding like-minded people who you vibe with. And it's just, you guys have to start moving into staying authentic to yourself, but finding your tribe. And I feel like that is exactly how we are going to survive as a species, because not everyone's for everyone. So you need to find your circles.
And I am convinced that finding our circles and our tribes and our community is one of the keys to saving humanity.
Absolutely. So So thank you, Tiara, for sharing a little bit more about being an Earth soul and your thoughts, because I do think more people need to be aware of, like, the fact is that I see the sentiment all over the Reddit, like, I want to go home, I want to go home, I want to go home, and I get it,
but at
the same time, it's like, but what if you are an Earth seed? I think a lot of people have convinced themselves that they are star seeds and that their home exists elsewhere. And I'm just like, I would love to know how many of those people are actually not star seeds and they're actually Earth souls.
By the way, if you want to know that, I believe one of the best ways to do that is to work with someone who can tap into your Akashic records, or someone who can channel maybe some of your spirit guides, and then the spirit guides often will have that information too. So if you're curious, I would recommend one of those two ways to figure out your soul origin.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
Thank you, everyone.
1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.